Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Matt, would you pray? Just.
Oh, Lord God, we just thank you for our day, Lord. We just thank you that you are a marvelous God and that you bless us every day, Lord. And that you walk with us and stretch.
Yes, Father.
Lord, and we just pray that you love us no matter what, Lord. We just do the difficult moments of our life, Lord, and that you just speak to us, Lord. And just give us your word today in church and let us worship you with our tithes and offerings.
Amen. Amen. Does someone else have a testimony to share, to give? I know we spent some time last Sunday giving God the praise. Just jump to your feet, brother. Give God the praise. Testify of his goodness.
of the decision you made to follow him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure it's very much applied to the body here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just want to get into the Word this morning. We started late this morning, so I want to get in the Word and just continue on, see where it goes, and get into the breaking of bread together. I think it's going to be a special time with us today, and so let's get into the Word. Amen. Just I want to draw your attention to Matthew. Pastor Jerry got into this a little bit. The Magi, the wise men bringing gifts. And my eyes lit on the last verse of this and sensed some direction. And so I want to look to this, Matthew chapter 2, the story of the Magi, the story of the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of Herod, the Magi from the east, the wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is this one who was born King of the Jews? We saw the star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard that this was distributed, or he was disturbed, sorry, and all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler to be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen and sent in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming into the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this is the verse I want to focus on. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another road. Some versions say by another route, by another way. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you have given us inspiration that comes by the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, we have not lived in 2014 blindly, but Lord, you have put up signposts of direction throughout the year. You are not a silent God. You are a God who speaks. You are not a God who does not give input into our lives. But Lord, you are one that has a constant desire to speak and communicate to his people and give direction, for your will is life. And you desire that your children would walk in your ways and your will. And so Lord God, you are gracious in being one who provides us with direction. Father, we ask, Lord, that in 2015 you would continue to speak to us, Lord God, and give us direction, Lord. And Father, we ask for it, Lord, because we want to be obedient to you. Not just because we want to get a blessing out of being in the right place at the right time, but Father God, that we want to be in obedience to the living God Almighty. So, Lord, lead us and direct us in this truth and always, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's just not safe to go back the way that we came. We have this interesting text of Scripture, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another way. What will it take for us to take a different way in 2015? There are some paths, there are some roads, there are some ways that we have been going on, perhaps that the Lord wants to say to us prophetically, don't go that way again. We had every intention of just doing it because that's our custom, that's our route. You know, you get very familiar with the way that you go home and you want to just take that same road again and again and again and again. But God is saying in certain things in your life, He is saying, I want you to take a different way this time. Why did these guys need a prophetic word from God to take a different road? I mean, aren't they wise men? Isn't that the whole point? You know, why does the church, in all of its great wisdom and all of its education and all of its book learning and all of its corporate understanding, why does it still need words of prophecy, words from God to give it the right direction? Because that's how God has built this system. Amen. That's the way the church is functioning. That's the way the church was in the book of Acts. And that's the way the church is today. We cannot go according to our own wisdom, no matter how high and mighty, even if we consider ourselves wise men. We still need a word from God. Because sometimes we just do dumb things. Amen? Amen. Thank you, brother. I mean, these guys, think about it. When I looked at this, you know, they come from the East. They're brilliant. They're the best of the best. They're the PhD dudes. And yet they're such geeks. What do they do when they come to Israel? They go right to Jerusalem and they start asking around, where will we find... There's a king coming. There's a new king coming. We've got all this information. We're here to look for this new king. Oh, let's go to the capital city. Let's go to Herod's temple. Let's go to Herod's office. Let's talk to the king and say, you know what? We're excited. We know that there's going to be someone that's coming to take over from you. You're about to lose your job. Huh? It just seems like there was a lack of wisdom. You know, you can be brilliant and have no social skills, right? And it seems like this, these guys, they wander right into the trap. They continue in the trap. Herod gives, he's a politician, you know, as slick as it can be. Of course, he's appointed by the Romans. He's got his position not through a great bloodline, but he has gotten his position because he knows how to talk. And he takes these wise men, these brilliant people who can tell the signs and the stars and the prophetic literature and be able to line everything up and be able to get just exactly right the timing of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he comes, he says, listen, lads, you go there to Bethlehem and you find him and you take your time and you get a hold of him and you come back here and you tell me exactly where he is so I can go and worship him. And they fell for it. They needed a revelation from God to tell them not to go back to Herod. They needed a divinely inspired prophetic word from God to tell them not to go back the same way that they had come. And we say, well, there's something wrong with these guys. They're not very wise men. But friends, that's us. It's the church. We are often duped by Satan's strategy in this world. We are often slickly brought into the philosophies of this world. Don't let anyone deceive you through philosophy, but friends, it happens all the time. We buy the line that Satan is throwing our way, and we need a word from God to be able to change our pathway. But praise God, these guys were seekers. And you know what happens to a seeker? They find. They found the Lord Jesus Christ because they were seekers. Seeking first the kingdom of God is our mandate always. They found the one whom they sought, and it changed the direction of their lives. After they had encountered Jesus, they were different. Amen? Because you can't encounter Jesus and be the same. But they still needed a prophetic word. They encountered Jesus, and we know that as, well, 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, he says, all things have become new, amen? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. When we encounter Christ, when we come face to face with Him, it may be that we believe in Him, or we have knowledge of Him, or we have a understanding of Him, but when we get personal with Him, when we have a Jesus encounter, when we invite Him into our life, when He becomes our Savior and our Lord, guess what? We're changed. We don't take the same way. But you know, oftentimes, even though we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need another touch. We still need the prophetic. We still need the revelation power of God. Friends, as Christians, we are We need to make some root changes. We need to make some course corrections. And it doesn't just happen once or twice in our life, just when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But friends, we need to have constant course corrections. We need to allow the prophetic, we need to allow the Word of God to be guiding and directing us all the time. We need to say, we're not going back that same way. It was okay. There's nothing wrong with the way that they got there. The route home was fine. It got them to Jesus. Amen. That road brought them to Jesus. I'm not condemning that road. I'm not condemning how they got there. I'm not condemning the way that they got to the place that they got to the place that they got there. But friends, that was yesterday's travel plans that God had. Today it's a new thing. You're still going to make it home. That's His promise. Amen. Now, isn't that all of our desires, to make it home someday? Amen. We all want to make it home. Glory to God. But it's the course corrections that we have to allow God to be able to speak into our life. Here is my formula that I get from this, if you want to be a mathematician, the formula for change. Experience Jesus. That's important. And receive revelation equals change. This is for all of us. This is for the body of Christ. Of course, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've got to start there. That's experiencing Christ. That is the most important thing. But after that, there is revelation, God revelation, and that changes the course. That changes our direction. It still gets us home, hallelujah. Nothing wrong with the way that we came, but God has a plan for us. And I wonder, have you experienced a revelation this past year that has caused you to say, I got to do it differently in 2015. Has something happened to you on your journey, on your pilgrim's journey, that makes you think this and makes you bring this issue to God? You know, because of what I'm hearing, because of what I've experienced, and it can be a life situation, it can be a trauma, it can be something that will take place in your life, something, a relationship issue, whatever it can be. It can be a very quiet, still voice, or it can be a whack in the head, and all of a sudden you say, I can't go back by that same road anymore. Is that you today? Where you're saying, you know, it just can't stay the same. I've experienced Jesus now. And God has spoken into me through circumstances, through the Word of God, through whatever. And I just can't do it anymore that way. If I try to go back the same way that I came, something is not going to work. You know, Goodyear is a time when we examine the way that we're going and how we get to go from here. Are you going to take the same route that you've been taking? Or has Jesus and His Word made a difference? Has Jesus experiencing Him, and not just one time experiencing Him being born again, but our constant experience with Jesus and the Word of God and how the Word of God speaks to us, has that made a course correction in your life? Is there something different that you're going to do in 2015? Is something in your journey going to be not the same way it was? There are many ways that God can get a message to you to change paths. Hey, it can be an angelic messenger can come along to you and say, don't go there! Wouldn't that be nice? You know, every time we're about ready to just, you know, we're just going with the familiar. You know? That's one of the most deadliest things of the church. Do you know that? Is just going with the familiar. Well, we don't know what to do, so we're going to do the same thing. You know? That logs us into legalism, logs us into traditions of man, it logs us into all kinds of things. But you know what? It's the most easiest thing to fall into. Let's just take the same road that we've been taking. Now, if God says, take the same road that you've been taking, then take the same road that you've been taking. But if you come before the Lord, and the Lord says, listen, no, I don't want you to go that way now. I want you to go this way. His primary road map is the Word of God. And here's what His Word is. I think I have it here. God's pathway. Here's what it is. What is God's path? Psalm 25 verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Ooh, glory. This is the road he wants you to take, friends. This is the prophetic road that he wants you to take. The prophetic road, you say, well, Lord, your road is always hard and miserable. Isn't that the way God wants us to be? You know, the narrow way is going to be a rough and treacherous way, and it's going to be miserable, whatnot. No, friends, here's the path of God, the path of the Lord. Yes, it is narrow, friends. Yes, it is few there be that find it and all that kind of jazz. But I tell you what, it's mercy and truth. Truth is good, and mercy is wonderful. Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, as such to those that love him, as such to those who thrive in his presence. He says, here's the pathway. I want you to take my pathway. You're one that got you here. That's not the one I want you to take. Mercy and truth. That's what the pathway of God is. He is truth and he is mercy. And of course we know this text of scripture. How do we get there? Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He wants to guide. He wants to direct. He wants to orchestrate truth and mercy in your life. You know, he's got good plans. Dare I say he's got awesome plans, Sister Gallagher. Awesome plans. I don't use the term too often, so. He has awesome plans. He has good plans. He has good plans for you in 2015, wherever it may be. You know, it may lead to a cross, but it's going to be a good plan. Amen. Because it's mercy and it's truth and it's directed by him. Let's not just go with the familiar. Let's seek the Lord and say, how should we get our way home? It is the path of blessing. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Who's going to show me? God. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Just imagine, he's going to walk with you on this road. Amen. His right hand leading you like a little child, amen. Just like Daniel was talking about the father and the child, him leading you down this road. He wants to walk with you along this road. And it's a road of blessing. It's a road of joy. It's a road of pleasures. That is to say, divinely inspired pleasures, not the carnal ones of this world. Psalm 1, of course, very beginning says, blessed is the man that walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this guy will be like a tree whose roots go down to the water. He will be refreshed and replenished. This path that God has for us is always, not only is it always his direction, not only is it always a path of blessing, because that's where he leads us. It is a path of righteousness. You know, I should mention Psalm 23, of course. You know, we all know that one by memory. He leadeth me into paths of righteousness. Who leads? He does. He wants to be directing in your life. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says this, but the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn. Now, when is dawn? Anybody know? I get this confused sometimes. Dusk to dawn. You have a dusk to dawn light. Dawn is the morning, eh? All right, so in this morning situation, but the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shineth brighter and brighter until the fullness of day, or till the full of day. In other words, friends, here is this exciting thing about the path of God. When he prophetically speaks into your life, it's almost like every time you make a course correction, every time he says go here, go there, whatever he may be, you start there and it's early morning on the road. Every road that you take, every challenge, everything that the Lord directs you on, it's like it's dawn, right? It's the sun's just starting to rise on it. And by faith you take that road. And by faith you walk in that road. And guess what? As you continue to walk in the road, and it's the walk of it's the way of righteousness, it is the way of blessing, it is the path of God's direction. Guess what happens? As you walk on it, the sun keeps rising and it gets clearer and clearer. Amen? In this path that God wants us, sometimes it starts off in the dawn of the morning every time we choose a new pathway that God directs us in. But you know what? It gets brighter and brighter. It gets clearer and clearer. until the fullness of day. I just got blessed with that proverb. Because we think, you know, that we're seeing it now. We don't see it now. We don't understand it all now. We feel the Lord is calling us to change. There's something in our life that has to change. We can't take the same way back. And He's called us for this road. But Lord, I see the light. I can see where we're going here, but I want more light, more light. He says, just keep on this pathway. And the sun will keep rising on it until the fullness of noonday. Revelation will increase. That pathway which begins with revelation, revelation will increase on that pathway. All right? Glory to God. I'm going to keep preaching because I'm enjoying it. Because I'm preaching to myself, that's why. The road is also, that's a little, I'm premature there, Rick Joyner. How do I do, go backwards? Oh, no, I don't know how to. Oh, sorry, Josiah, he doesn't like going backwards, just forward. Amen, amen. The road to righteousness is also the road of repentance. Oh, I don't like that word. The very meaning of the word repent, however, means to take a different way, to turn around, to change direction. What were the Magi told? They were told to repent in one sense. Don't go that direction. Don't go that way. Turn around. Go a different way. To turn around. To repent. This is for the Christian. This is for the believer. Whenever He reveals something, whenever He shows you that the pathway that you've been on, there is to be a course correction, we enter into that through repentance. Maybe I'm using it in too technical a terminology. Usually we think of being at the altar bawling our brains out, you know, that kind of repentance. But you know, there is simple repentance, which says, God, I am grieved by my choices, and I rejoice in yours. That is repentance. I turn away from the road that I have been traveling on. I turn away from the pathways of my choice, and I turn to your choices. That is repentance. It was the message of John the Baptist. He was a messenger sent from God to prepare the road for Jesus. To tell Israel to take a different way home. His message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, because there's a course change coming up. Repent, because there's a new pathway being shown. Repent, because revelation is going to start pouring in to Israel, and it's going to reveal to you where we're supposed to go. Psalm 119:35 says, make me go, Lord, in the paths of thy commandments. But what prevents us from taking a course correction is sin. Sin, here's what Rick Joyner says, sin does harden the heart toward repentance and makes it harder to repent. Sin is also deceitful, and those who practice it often become so deceived that they no longer see it as sin and therefore cannot repent of it. This is a danger, friends, because God is calling us to take a change. And whenever there's change coming, whenever there's a desire for a different pathway, we have to repent. And sin needs to be confessed. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning in a few minutes, is an opportunity for us to examine ourselves and see if there is any course changes. And if something in our life needs to be removed because it is a stumbling block, it is a rock, it is something that's in the way of us making a course change, then we have to get rid of it. This pathway the Lord has, you may not like this one. If you didn't, it's an old path. But I thought it was a new way. Well, maybe new for you. It's interesting, the paths that God is calling us to go on, and I'm just going reading through scriptures about pathways, you know. Some of the songs that we sing, for example, we sang Auld Lang Syne. Yeah. And you know, it's so old. It's new for you guys, right? The tune is just so old, it's new, right? I mean, early 1800s, I went and looked it up on that, and you know, it was the first, way back, 1700s, I should say. And so this old Scottish song, you know, it's an old song, but we just put new words to it. You know, it becomes a new song. But you know, so many things in the life of a Christian, they're so old that they're new. They're new to us. It's a new pathway for us. It's a new journey for us. But really, it's an ancient pathway. Here is what God says to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah used this term several times. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Not the path of your choosing, not the path that the culture around you wants to take. Wherein is the good way, and walk therein, but ye shall find rest for your souls. Here's the sad part, they said, we'll not walk on that road. We won't take that road. Now, where it says you will find rest for your souls, does that sound familiar? Because Jesus said the very same thing, didn't he? Matthew 11, he said, take my yoke, my road, choose my way. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus brings us to an old road, that is to say an ancient road, the road of God's covenant people. And it's good. It's good. Two things about it. Number one, it's good and it brings you rest. It is the road that God wants us to find. You know, some would say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? You're saying you just want it to be old-fashioned, right? No. I wish sometimes, but, you know, I mean, I have my own desires and whatnot. But let's not interject our own pathways on what it means to be the old path. You see, we can use our history. We can say, oh, it ain't like it used to be. Let's get back on the old pathways. You know, and I've heard this preached, don't worry, before, where it meant, you know, let's get the dress code back. Let's get all these things back. Let's go back to the old ways, you know, the old paths, the old legalism. And there's part of us that says, you know, oh, we should do that. We should go back to the old. There's a desire for order sometimes. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the paths of the Lord, the covenant paths. The paths of obedience, the paths of walking as a covenant people. Remember that path that Israel had in the old days? That when they were walking from place to place and they had no idea where they're going to go, but there was a pillar of fire by night. And there was a pillar of cloud by day. And when the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire moved, they moved. That's the ancient paths. Where they weren't using any of their tradition or ideas or whatever else to develop this pathway, but rather it was, Lord, where you want us to go. Show us, Lord. That's the ancient pathways. You know, the ancient pathways. Here Jeremiah says again, he says, but my people have forgotten me. They burn offerings to delusions. Some versions, most versions say to idols. They have stumbled in their ways from the path, from the ancient roads, and have taken bypaths, not the highway of their God. They've allowed the culture around them. They've allowed the culture and the ideas around them to give them sidelines, side roads, and they have gotten off of the good old highway of God's covenant people. Friends, do you need a course correction? Has the world been telling you where to go? Oh, they tell me where to go all the time. Many people on Facebook like to tell me where to go. And because sometimes I'm the one standing there saying, there's another pathway. There's another way. But friends, what does God want us? See, we're not talking about just being old-fashioned. But actually, we're talking about being progressive. Here's what C.S. Lewis said this. I love this. I do. This was, you know, one of those God things. Just came up as I was opening a book and, you know, came like that. And I went... It says, we all want progress. Progressive, right? We want to be hip. We want to move with the times. We want to be up there, you know? He says, we all want to be progressive. But if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an all-about turn, walking back to the right road. In that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. Think about this. The one who turns his back on the way that society is going, you know, the way, the direction, who turns back from those things and heads back to the right road that God wants them on, that person, the person that does it first, is the most progressive, the most liberal, one might say, the one that's making the most ground. You know, Bonhoeffer said this, if I can remember it, not in my notes, but Bonhoeffer said this once. He was a German who was murdered by the Nazis as a pastor who had the guts to stand up and not go the way of the culture. Not go the way that the culture was going. The way of the culture was wrong. And Bonhoeffer said, it doesn't mean diddly. I'm quoting, you know, this is North quotes here. But, you know, he says, you know, if you're on a train and that train is heading to a destination that's wrong, he said, just getting up from your seat and walking to the back of the train doesn't do anything. He says, you got to get off that train, find a different road, then you're making progress. You know, and he was criticizing the church in Germany. He was criticizing the church because some, he said, he acknowledged that some of them were getting up and saying, all right, we're going to pout and we're going to walk back to the back of the train. Train's still going at 100 miles an hour or 100, you know, kilometers an hour. It's still heading it to that town. Your little itty bitty demonstrations that you're different don't amount to anything unless you get off that train. Friends, I don't want to belabor the point. I pray that, I just sense the Holy Spirit is saying for us to examine ourselves. Find out what pathway God wants us to be on. There is an old hymn. Oh, I had it here somewhere. No, see, just when I throw my notes away. You know, this old hymn says, the way of the cross leads home. Most of you don't know that hymn. The way of the cross, I must go, I must needs go by home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home, the way of the cross leads home. It's so sweet to know as onward I go that the way of the cross leads home. Jesus calls us to take His road, His pathway. And His pathway is a pathway of truth, of mercy, of blessing, of righteousness. Yes, it's a road that requires repentance to make a course correction. But it'll get you there. That's the one good thing about the Jesus way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. He is the road we take. You know, the one good thing is He will actually get us there. What would you rather have? Well, the broad way. The way that you're used to. The way that you've been going on. In this particular area of your life or whatever it may be, specifically God may be saying to take a course correction in some area of your life. He may be saying to the church as a whole, and I'm sure He is. He continually says there needs to be course correction. Which would we rather do? The way we're comfortable with and not actually get there, or the Lord's way? The way of the cross leads home. I want us to go right into the Lord's Supper. Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You give us opportunity and choices, that You are not a God who does not give input into our lives. But Lord, through Your word, through prophetic events, Lord, You get our attention. Help us, Lord, that if there is something that's holding us back, help us to repent. Help us to turn away. Help us to allow those things to fall away that prevent us from taking the necessary course corrections. If it's fear, and right now I sense this, Lord, if it's fear, then Lord, I rebuke the fear in Jesus' name. Lord, help us, Father God, not to be afraid. I know that the dawn, the light is low as we step out on a new correction, a new journey, a new part, if it's an area of finances, if it's an area of our time and how we use our time, if it's an area of our relationship, if it's an area of our, whatever it may be, whatever it is that you're speaking to us and you're saying, you can't take the same way that you've been taking. You got to go home a different way. Father, give us the strength to trust you for that journey. I want you, each one of us, to contemplate what I'm saying today. To contemplate the course correction in some area of our life. We've experienced Jesus. I believe that this church is full of people right now who have experienced Jesus. But Lord, there needs to be many times of prophetic intervention. Because as wise as we think we are, oh Lord, we just don't do it right without you. Thank you, Father, for leading your church. Because when you stop leading it, it ceases to be yours. Yes, Father.